want you to open your Bible this morning in the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the chapter 16, or rather chapter 15, first of all, and then into chapter 16. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word, Acts chapter 15, commencing to read at verse number 36, and then into chapter 16. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible word. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city, where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark, and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. He went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then came he to Derbe and to Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they were gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, they were come to Mysia, and they assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They passed by Mysia, came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. From thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. His heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which are spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Just let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word this morning. We thank thee that in this meeting house we can gather round the word of the living God, and we believe that this is thy precious word. We thank thee, our God, in this day of darkness, in this day of apostasy, in this day of great sin and iniquity, that we do have a word from the Lord, and we pray that thou will guide us into all truth today. We thank thee for thy word which says, seek the Lord with all thy heart, and to trust in him, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And O God, we pray that we might put that into our lives, into practice, that we will trust thee for everything. that we will trust thee for everything. That we lean not on our own understanding, our own plans, or our own purposes. But our God, that we lean upon thee and thee alone, and thy word. Trusting thy word to show us and guide us. And lead us away by the power of thy Holy Spirit. Bless every head that's bowed in thy presence and speak to us afresh today. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. When we come to this 16th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles on last Lord's Day, we were looking at some of these passages up to this. We find that indeed that the workmen have been changed. In the first missionary journey, we had Paul and also Barnabas. Now we find that there has been contention between Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, and Paul was not mindful to take him, and there was a great dissension between them. In actual fact, there was a heated discussion between them. And so we find the workers were changed, and we find that there are now two teams. Because Barnabas doesn't stop the work, and we find that Barnabas takes John Mark with him as he purposed and planned, but Paul took Silas. And then they were joined with Timotheus, and then they were joined by Luke. We find that the Holy Spirit, however, whilst it is true there were two different teams, the Holy Spirit just focuses upon one team. The blessed Spirit of God tells us in the record here about Paul's second missionary journey. He went to the places that he had founded, and he and Barnabas had started and commenced the work in. I must confess, I wonder what he said whenever some of the brethren says, "Tell me, where's Barnabas?" The Holy Spirit of God doesn't give me the answer, and so therefore it's no use me conjecting just exactly what he said, but I have no doubt whatsoever they did wonder where was Barnabas. At least he was able to say, well, he's gone to Cyprus. He's away to serve the Lord there. But the Holy Spirit does give to us this second missionary journey, and the purpose of the journey was to strengthen the brethren. And when you come to chapter 16 and you come to verse number 5, it says this, "So were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." And so there were two purposes here that followed Paul and Silas's visit. Thank God there was a spiritual strengthening, because it says here that they were established, or they were strengthened, and they were grounded afresh in the faith. And that's an important thing to do. That is an important task for the preacher, to preach the word of God and to strengthen the brethren in the faith and the sisters in the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. And they were spiritually strengthened, and then they were statistically strengthened, because numerically the Bible says there in verse 5, "And they increased in number daily," and thank God, God blessed them. And I'm sure it was a tremendous encouragement to Paul and to Silas, as the Lord not only strengthened the churches and the believers in their faith, but God continued the work as on the day of Pentecost. He added unto the church daily such as should be saved. And we ought to have an earnest desire to know of people coming to Christ daily. Oh, that the Spirit of God would so come upon us in this district that we would hear of souls daily coming to Christ. And that's exactly what is happening here. It says they increased in number daily. That was the blessed work of the power of the Spirit of God. Now, whilst it is true that Paul desired to strengthen the believers, he also desired to evangelize the sinners. And so he desires to go forward here. And you go to verse number 6 of chapter 16. It says, "And when they were gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word." Paul wanted to preach. He was a preacher. And he desired to preach the word. because he knew it was through the foolishness of preaching that God had ordained to save them that believe. And we need to remember, this is a preaching house where the Word of God is central, and the Word of God is a central focus of our attention. But you know, the preacher had a desire to see people saved, and so should we. We should never lose the vision and the desire to see men and women saved and brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost in verse 6 to preach the word in Asia. Now, he wasn't forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach, but he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And what we find here is this, that Paul's life was lived under the direction and the guidance of the Holy Ghost. And friend, that's what every child of God should desire in their lives, that their lives will be guided by the power and by the guidance of the Spirit of God. Now remember, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God. When I hear a person saying to me, but that God told me to do this, and then I come to God's Word and I see that God's Word forbids it, let me tell you, my friend, the Spirit of God is not the spirit of confusion. God never directs His children contrary to His Word. And I don't care what a man may feel, and I don't care what a man may say, and I don't care how convinced a man may be. If he is saying something that is contrary to the Word of God, you can know it's wrong. Because the baseline of our belief this morning and the baseline of our action is the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit will never, ever direct you contrary to the clear teaching of the Word of God. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. That's exactly what God believes, and that's what God says. When I hear a person say, well, God says come out, but He tells me to stay in. Is God a God of confusion? No, my friend, God will never direct God's child to do something which is contrary to the Word of the Lord. And so he was guided by the Spirit of God. You see, the wonderful thing about Paul is this, and friend, this is what every child of God must remember. We must be open to the will of God alone for our lives. You must, as a child of God, if you are truly saved and washed in the blood of Christ, then you have yielded to the Lordship of Christ. And your life must be open to the will of God alone. It says here in verse number 6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. They still had a burden to reach people. Didn't put the fire out. Didn't stop them with zeal for the work of God. But it says in verse number 7, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They were guided and they were led by the Holy Spirit. And friend, I don't know, perhaps at that moment, whenever the Spirit of God said to Paul, you know, you're not to preach in Asia, maybe Paul was disappointed. Maybe Paul was even discouraged by that. The old devil says, you know, here's a man on fire, and my, whenever he's on fire to do something, and the Spirit of God seems to put the fire in, he says, no, no, you're not doing it. I don't know how Paul felt at that moment, but I do know this. He left himself clearly open to the guiding of the Spirit of God, and he didn't quit. He kept on going, and God would show him the way. And you know what he found out? He found out that God's way was the best way. And you'll find that out in your life, child of God. Listen, leave yourself open to the guidance of the Spirit of God. Put yourself on the altar for God and you'll find out God's way is the best way. For God knoweth the best. You know, the Lord didn't leave his child in confusion. If you mean business with God, friend, and you want to do a work for God, I'll tell you this. God does not leave his children in confusion. They kept on going, knowing that God was sovereignly in control. Look at verse number 8. And they passed by Mysia. You see, they were come to Mysia because they desired or estate to go to Bithynia. But it says they passed by because the Spirit suffered them not. And they came to Troas. You know, Paul needed direction. The Lord has said, no, Paul, concerning Asia. And he says, no, Paul, whenever he was going to Bithynia. He needed positive direction, and thank God, God gives him the direction. And God directs him just step by step. And when we need to know God's will, friend, let me tell you, God will inform us. I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, some problems we get ourselves in, friend, listen, because of zeal. And because God's not maybe opening up the way just as we see it and think it is. We think that we should be doing something. I'll tell you, yes, there is. We should be waiting on God. That's what you should be doing. You should be waiting on God. Because God knows the way. And God knows the best way for you. And so the Bible says, listen, they passed by Mysia and they came to Troas. Yes, they kept on going. Is it not true there are those who have got discouraged in the battle, friend, and you're quitters? There's people that knew what it was to have the power of prayer in their lives, friend. Listen, and something stepped in, and maybe something very simply stepped in, but they've quit praying. They're not on the firing line anymore. They stop praying. No, Paul kept on going. You and I need to keep on going, friend, just waiting on the Lord, waiting for the Lord's guidance. And then it says in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Yes, God's not going to disappoint his child. You see, God has a plan and God has a purpose. Paul's going to find it out. Because God's not going to let him down. And God's not going to lead him into confusion. When God says no, God meant no. But God said no for a purpose. And friend, whenever God's saying no, yes, he is answering prayer. Because God has a better plan. Now you can take it your way, and I'll tell you, you'll be disappointed in the end of it. Because you'll never really be satisfied in it. You can have your way. But you'll never know the sweetness of the fullness of the Spirit of God when you choose your way instead of letting God have his way. And so he just waits in the Lord. He keeps on going. And then God, in God's time, God gives him a vision. God's time's always right. Maybe you're waiting for something today and some answer to prayer. Friend, listen, you just keep on holding on to God, and God will answer prayer in his way. And the Bible says in verse 9, and the vision appeared to Paul on that night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. A man prayed him. He was begging him. He was beseeching him. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Oh, that we would catch the vision tonight or this morning. I'm not looking for some extra wonderful vision just that God gave to Paul, but oh, that we would catch the vision that Paul had for souls. He had an ear that was sensitive to the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of God. And he realized there was a world that needed help.
Men and women, young people today, listen, only one life. And there is a dying world out there, and they need help. And they're dying in sin. Thank God, Paul was open to the guidance of the Spirit of God. What if he had gone to Bithynia? What if he had gone his own way and gone into Asia? Thank God he didn't. And God intervened in his life. And now, look what the Word of God says in verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. You see, he had discerned the clear will of God. And whenever God's will was clear, friend, there wasn't a doubt in his mind that says, listen, look at verse number 10. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. I'll tell you, that's what will keep you going in days that are testing. That's what will keep you going whenever the trials get great. And the problems of life, when you're doing the work and the will of God, and it seems to be there are many obstacles. When you are assuredly persuaded in your soul that the Lord has called you. You see, nothing could move Paul now. He knew he was in the very center, the very, very center of the will of God. And it says, and immediately we endeavor to go, because we are assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. You see, Paul was open to the clear promptings of the Spirit of God, friend, the leading of the Holy Ghost. And that was demonstrated when God said to him, no, as well as what God said to him, yes. You know, we find it easier whenever God agrees with what we would like. And then we are disappointed whenever God shuts the door when God says no. Never try to go through a door, friend, that God has shut. But I can tell you, you can go through a door when God opens it, because you have the sweet assurance. I think that's a wonderful thing, you know. To have the sweet assurance in your soul, listen, that I am the center of the will of God. And God has a will for every one of us. Every child of God. And when you have the assurance you're in the center of the will of God, friend, listen, then there's only one thing to do, obey. And we sang this morning, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Isn't it good to know that God knows what he's doing? Even when I can't see the way, when God is leading, friend, and I can't see the reason or the wherefores or the whys, but God knows what he's doing. God's way is perfect. It says, immediately we endeavored to go. Would have been an awful thing if he hadn't obeyed. Missed opportunities. Delaying missed opportunities. Assuredly, God, being satisfied, this was God's leading. God had called him to preach the gospel. Now, come to verse number 11. I love this. It says this. And therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course. You know what that was? Wholehearted obedience. He knew what the will of God was. There isn't a wholehearted obeying. And listen, it says here, a straight course. In other words, he made a beeline for it. He went with a straight line. Because he knew this was the guidance of the Lord. And he came to Neapolis and from thence to Philippi. Now, the journey from Troas to Neapolis was approximately 150 miles. Philippi would have been 10 miles further. Thank God he went the whole journey. Because there were needy souls that needed to be reached with the gospel. And that's when they came to Philippi. Now, Philippi was located on a large, fertile plain. It was separated from the sea by a mountain range and from the city of Neapolis. It was a city not of commercial importance. It was known for its gold mines. It was known for its silver mines. It was also known as a military city. It was a city of military importance. Philip II of Macedonia, father of Alexander the Great, was the one that had annexed that region and renamed it after himself. That's why it was called Philippi, after Philip. It was a Roman colony. That's what the Bible says here, and a colony. And therefore, it was a colony that was patterned after Rome. The main citizens of that place were Roman citizens. In actual fact, the people dressed in Roman attire, they used Roman coins, they spoke Latin, which was the official language of Rome. But of course, a knowledge of Greek was also a necessity for the residents. In actual fact, some of the soldiers who had remained faithful to Rome, they were given a reward of a grant of land in Philippi for their faithful service. It's interesting to notice because it says here, if you go to verse number 13, on the Sabbath day we went out to the city by the riverside. Now, Paul, you'll always notice, went to the synagogue. So why did he not go to the synagogue? The answer is very simple. There was none. Because there were few Jews in this place. It was a Roman colony, and therefore there were very few Jews. In actual fact, for a synagogue to be established, it needed 10 families to establish a synagogue. But there weren't 10 families. And there was no synagogue that was established here. And so whenever Paul went, there was no synagogue to go to preach the word. So what did he do? It's interesting to notice he heard a cry, a man. It says in verse 9, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And yet when he got there, there was no man. Had the Lord made a mistake? Whenever he got there, he was wanting to preach, but I'll tell you this, there was no committee to meet him, there was no reception party, there were no scheduled meetings. And there was no man. So what does he do? He says, we abided, verse number 12, we were in that city abiding certain days. He abided there. We're just to tarry, to remain, to continue certain days. Patience. He knew God was in this. There was no man waiting for him. There was no group of people saying, here was this man saying, come over and help us, but there was nobody there. So we have it just as it says, he abided certain days. He didn't quit. He didn't question the leading of the Lord. He just stayed and witnessed the hand of the Lord at work. And friend, to do God's will, there's something that God's children need, and that is patience. You know, whenever the farmer sows a seed, he doesn't sow it tonight or today and go to sleep tonight and get up in the morning, run out into the field and say, "Where's the harvest?" No, he waits. Patience. I was just reading that little verse over in Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, it says there in verse number 3, it says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed." You see, there's a plan here. And even tribulation, it's working patience in our lives. And patience, it's working experience into the web of our lives. And experience, it's working hope. And hope will not be ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Over in Hebrews, in chapter 10, in verse number 36, it says this: "For ye have need of patience." And friend, to be honest, we have need of patience. "That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Is that what the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning? The need of patience, persistence. And the sad reality is, there are those people who sow the seed, friend, and yet they quit before the fruit is born. And they go away disappointed. Not Paul. He said, "Listen, we were in that city abiding certain days." And then it says this: "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city on the riverside," or by the riverside, "where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted there." What's he going to do on the Sabbath day? There's no synagogue, friend. He sought out the place where prayer was known to be made. And God's children need to show an interest in the things of God. And I've often said this, and I say it again, friend. Even when you're away on holiday or away on work, remember the Lord's day is still the Lord's day. And don't rob him of his day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And there was a place where prayer was known to be made. And it was at the prayer meeting that Paul found the first opportunity to do what he wanted to do, and that was to preach. Because it says, "And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither." Now, it wasn't men. It was a woman's meeting. God hadn't messed the plan up, friend. Because it's interesting, I realize time's away, but listen, here's the interesting thing is this. It says a certain woman, verse 14, named Lydia, she heard us, and the Lord opened her heart, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and thank God she got saved. Now listen to me carefully. Lydia wasn't even from Philippi. She was from Thyatira. Where was that? It was a town in the province of Asia. Do you remember Paul wanted to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit forbid him? And he thought the way to go was to reach somebody in Asia. And God says, you go to Philippi. And the very first person he reached was a woman from Asia. You see, God's plan, God's purpose. And Paul preached unto them, or spake unto them, the word of the Lord there at that riverside. And thank God, Lydia heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. The Bible says that she worshipped God. In other words, she had a spiritual interest. She was seeking truth. She was a seller of purple. She was quite well off, this woman. But listen, there's things that money can't buy. But thank God she had a concern about her soul. Can I ask a question as time's away this morning? Have you, child of God, a concern for souls? Paul had. But can I ask you, sinner, this morning, have you a concern about your soul? For Lydia had. She had a concern about her soul. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? I have no doubt whatsoever there was just a handful of women at that riverside. As far as the world was concerned, friend, that little gathering by the riverside attracted no attention at all. But the Lord sent Paul there. And thank God, at the riverside, a woman was saved. That was his first convert. One of many. We've got to finish there. You know, not only did the Riverside prayer meeting attract the attention of God and of Paul, the work of God now attracts the attention of the devil. And you see, when God's moving and when God's working, then the devil tries to step in. And the devil tries to stop. And the devil tries to hinder. Never be surprised at that. But thank God, a greater is in us than all the powers of hell that be against us. And God's going to work. And God's going to move. And God establishes not a synagogue in Philippi, but a band of the Lord's people whose hearts the Lord opened. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning for thy leading of the Apostle Paul. We thank thee for the guiding of the Holy Spirit. We thank thee that we have thy word this morning to guide us into all truth. And we pray that we might seek thy face for guidance as to the wheres and the whats to do. Help us not to choose our way or try, Lord, to drive the agenda, but help us, Lord, to have hearts that are open to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you'll bless the men on the doorsteps and bless the young people down the town, and bless those that work amongst the children, the little babies and young people. And Lord, we pray that thou will just guide each and every one of us. Guide in the open air. Help us, Lord, just to be open to the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of the Lord. And Lord, we now just say no. Help us not to be disappointed. Rather, help us to be expectant, waiting for the yes and the where and the what. Help us not to quit because things don't work out the way we planned it. But help us to keep going. Assuredly gathering that this is the way God wants. The will of God for me. For those that are not saved this morning, I pray in Jesus' name, save them. Oh God, give them a Holy Ghost concern about their soul, that they might seek the Lord while he may be found. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.